Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be here tonight here at our small, humble congregation, but a congregation that equips the body to do the work of an evangelist in Israel. And I'm Dr. Todd Baker. I'm the head pastor here at Shalom Shalom Congregation. We meet every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we meet at the Northwest Bible Church in the Christian Life Center building, third floor, room 301. The address of the church is 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas. Zip code is 75231. So we hope the audio is okay, and we're coming in good, and we are. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, as you know, I'm back from Eretz Israel, the glorious land of Daniel 11:41, after the triumphant and enabling grace of God allowed us to carry out and complete the 55th gospel outreach to Israel. Accompanying me on this trip was Robert Williams. This was his fifth time to go with this ministry to Israel. I talked to him earlier today, and I agree with his sentiments wholeheartedly when we were reflecting on what happened over there. It's hard to believe we were over there. It went by so quick, lightning fast, and the wonderful things the Holy Spirit did as we humbly and lovingly brought the Messiah Yeshua and his comforting work of salvation to those who need comfort, the Jewish people who are suffering during this time of war. As I suspected, the Israelis greeted us with open arms, even gave us red carpet treatment. They were so glad to see people from America, but also believers in Yeshua, come to them and encourage them and let them know there's a strong and large block of Bible believers in America who support Israel and support them carrying out and prosecuting this war to its full end, which would entail the complete annihilation of Hamas. We also said that we disavow the duplicitous and two-faced policy of Israel that the Biden administration is adopting. And they were very thankful for our ministry to them. So we're going to get into that in a bit. Let me just say thank you for your prayers and your support while we were over there. Every dime, every penny, every dollar that was given was used. And let me hasten to add with my thanksgiving to you, don't stop supporting us. We need continued support because we do plan on returning to, Lord willing, Israel at the end of October. We're looking at that date as a possibility of return. We would have liked to have gone sometime in the summer, but the funding is not there at this point, and the logistics right now are not ideal for it. But we should be ready to go in the late fall. And if you would like to give to that end, you can help us out. Continue this end-time gospel outreach to the Jewish people of Israel and the Arab people of Israel. And if you would like to help us on a continual basis, you can do that by clicking on the donate link that's there below the title of tonight's message. It will take you to a secure link where you can donate. And every donation is tax deductible because we are a 501(c) nonprofit entity. So we thank you for doing that. Folks, also a relatively recent, we've come out with our Winter Spring 2024 Search the Scriptures newsletter. And in this issue, we continue to talk about the 54th Gospel Outreach that we completed last June. And then in our upcoming summer edition of Search the Scriptures, we'll certainly recount to you some of the witnessing encounters we had on this 55th Gospel Outreach that we recently completed. So please remember to do that. And if you would like our newsletter, as a matter of fact, you can again go to our website and sign up for it, and or you can email us, and we will make sure we will put you on the mailing list for our newsletter. You can either get it snail mail, or you can get the email version, which is the color version of it. So avail yourselves of that. Well, folks, like I said again, our trip to Israel, once again, by the grace of God and the power of His Spirit, was triumphant and victorious. Many in Israel were open to receive not only the gospel, but the complete Word of God in Hebrew. Now, when I say complete, I mean both testaments of the Bible bound in one volume in Hebrew. And not only that, there are in the Bibles that we do provide are provided by Sar El Tours, and we were able to meet with them this time at their offices. And we met Asaph Borsky, who is the liaison between Sar El Tours and Brit Chadashah Ministries and Zohar Levitt Ministries. They give us these Bibles that we pass out. And we ended up passing out 32 Bibles this time. Usually we pass out 30 to 40 Bibles. So Robert Williams and I ended up passing out 32 Bibles. And I want to remind you that we just don't hand them out willy-nilly. Each Bible we hand out is also handed out with a clear, concise, and comprehensive presentation of the gospel, Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and the plan of God, and so forth. And we personalize these things to every person we hand the Bible out to. And you're going to see that once again in our presentation too. Two things different about this presentation tonight. Unfortunately, we do not have the slide projection set up to show you the photographs because our tech guy, Greg Hartwig, could not make it tonight. Pray for him. I don't want to go into detail. He's having a health issue. Pray that the Lord will heal him quickly. We appreciate his help that he does. He does all the help. In the background, you don't see him, but his absence is keenly felt, and we continue to pray for our dear brother, who is the webmaster for Zohar Levitt Ministries and the webmaster for Brit Chadashah Ministries. He does so much, and we really appreciate what he's done, so he will be out the next couple weeks. So probably this week and next week, we will do our 55th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. Now, we do have the photos. They are there. They are available. But they're not going to be seen tonight because we don't have the mechanism that is provided for that. And this was a last-minute thing Greg had to go take care of. And so we didn't have time to prepare. So if you are interested in accessing the photos as I go through each day of gospel ministry in Israel, you can do that by going to todd.levitt.com. Todd.levitt.com. And once you get there, you go down to the very bottom and click on 2024-03. And then that will, all the photos will appear there for you. So with that said, we will now give you a formal presentation of this outreach. And I do this for a variety of reasons. Number one, to show you that this ministry is having a positive effect on the Jewish and Arab population in Israel. That's why I've been doing these presentations every time I come back from Israel for years now, so that you can see yourself what we are doing. Number two, this is an accountability thing too. Anybody can spin tall tales, and many of the false prophets in the church do that without verification, and they're charlatans. We don't just spin yarn here. We back up what we're saying with a photographic evidence as documented proof. And number three, we do this also to educate and inform you how you can witness to your Jewish friend or perhaps even your Arab friend. This outreach stands on its own, once again, like all the other outreaches. Several things make it stand out. Number one, this outreach, more than any other, was predicated on people's names. We asked people their names, and invariably those names opened a direct gospel witness. And you're going to see that. And we were floored in Jerusalem when we asked this guy's name, and we didn't know what it meant. And both Robert and I at the same time felt led to ask him, well, what does your name mean? And this is even more amazing because we had to use the iPhone translator because his English was not good. So we were going Hebrew to English, English to Hebrew with our translator. And then when we asked him what it means and he typed out the meaning of his name, it literally, Robert and I literally backed up in our chairs. Literally were just blown back by what happened, because it was such an obvious divine appointment, and at that moment an obvious finger of God lifting the veil and opening the door wide open so this young man could hear about the real Messiah, whose name is Yeshua, who is Yeshua, I mean Nazareth, Yeshua from Nazareth. So this outreach, the names of people God used so that we could, he used to open a door of direct gospel witness. You know, sometimes when you witness, you just don't go up right away and say, hey, you know, you kind of have to feel the person out, maybe have pleasant conversation about what's going on in Israel and the area where they're at, why that's significant biblically. But in each instance where the person told us what their name meant, it opened a direct and immediate door for gospel witness. And I don't know of any other outreach where that happened consistently wherever we went. So that's one thing that stands out and makes this 55th gospel outreach unique. Another is the diversity of people we witnessed to. I think we witnessed to more Arabs on this trip than any other outreach. I think if you were to give a percentage, it was 60% Jewish people we witnessed to and 40% Arab this time, which again is good. We witnessed to several Arab Muslims, and they were open, and they too received a Hebrew Bible. Don't forget that Arabs do speak Hebrew. They have to speak Hebrew and Arabic to function as normal and profitable citizens of the state of Israel. So the theme, I think, for this outreach is about the names, the meaning of the names, opening it up. And I looked up, names are significant in Scripture. And whenever the ancient Israelites had a child, they would give it a name that emphasized a characteristic that would emphasize in the future a characteristic of that child, or highlighted an attribute of God. And so I'm reminded of Proverbs 22:1 right here, Proverbs 22:1, and it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And all the names that we encountered, they told us, were good names because they opened the door for direct and immediate gospel witness. So Proverbs 22:1 is, I think, the scripture characterizing this outreach with the names. So without further ado, let's get into what happened on this glorious 55th gospel outreach to Israel. Praise God, our flights over there were smooth. We didn't have any issues. In fact, when we went during COVID, we didn't have to wait in long lines. We were immediately ushered through customs and got our rental car. And the same was true this time. There was not hardly anybody in the airport. Christian tourism is decidedly and obviously down over there. The only really tour buses we saw was from a distance at the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane is. We did see some tour buses there, but other than that, we did not see them around the country of Israel, and that was to be expected because when there's any type of danger over there, unfortunately, the Christian world flees and does not want to go because of fear or concerns. But when we were over there, you wouldn't have known that Israel's in a state of war. Now this ministry can say that we go, whether it's peaceful or bellicose. We go in a time of peace, and we go during a time of war. As I said before, we were going during the Second Intifada, which lasted for 2 or 3 years. We were going during that time. Same situation. The Christian tourism was virtually non-existent in that period. And the same, unfortunately, is true now. There is no noticeable Christian tourism over there. And several of the tour agencies that I know of and spoke with confirmed that to me. But we arrived there on March 26th. And of course, unfettered by our travel exhaustion, this 55th gospel outreach began at the Dan Panorama Hotel in Tel Aviv. Now you can go and look on your pictures there. There in the lounge, early in the morning, we got there at 6 a.m. They wouldn't check us in until about 12 noon. So we went and had coffee, and we headed out to Sar El Tours to pick up our Bibles. But before we headed out, we went to the lounge, and there Robert Williams and I met Tony after we informed him that we regularly come to Israel to share the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. Tony was wide open to hear just what that means. Taking a cue from Paul's definition of the gospel given in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, Robert and I explained what exactly Jesus did when he died as the sacrifice and substitute for our sins, granting atonement and forgiveness from God to all those who repent and believe in him. Amazingly, when we pointed to a Hebrew Bible given to Tony by us, he said, quote, "The word of God is what matters most," unquote. We responded with a hearty amen. Tony exuberantly received the gospel we proclaimed and the written word of the Lord Jesus, which alone can give the recipient eternal life. John 5:24-39. Tony is in a white cafeteria uniform, if you're following our pictures on the website. And then, so that was wonderful. Then we did have some parking issues at the hotel, and the Lord used that irritant, I should say, in the end for his glory, because we then had to sort things out with the parking attendant. After that was done, the Lord then led Robert and I, by the Spirit, to share the gospel of Yeshua with Alex, a Russian Jew who immigrated to Israel decades ago. He's in a t-shirt there, and I'm with him wearing an army coat. This witness with Alex all started, get this, once we noticed he had a copy of the Tehillim on his office desk. As most of you know, the Hebrew word Tehillim is the word for the book of Psalms. Noting this fact, Robert and I shared with Alex that the Messiah is found and prophesied in great detail in the Psalms, unerringly pointing to Yeshua as the Messiah. Detailed events, we told him, like the death of Yeshua, pierced in his hands and feet on the tree, Psalm 22:16, his zeal for the temple in Jerusalem, Psalm 69:9, fulfilled in John 2:17, and his second coming to Israel at Armageddon, Psalm 2:1-9. Taking our cue from the end time prophecy of Psalm 2, we exhorted Alex to take a free copy of a complete Hebrew Bible we offered, emphasizing to him that it includes the New Testament. He accepted our invitation, and now with a New Testament Bible in his hands, may this humble Israeli believe, or, in the words of Psalm 2, kiss the Son of God to receive his blessing of salvation to those who put their trust in him, Psalm 2:12. So that is how our arrival in Israel greeted us. We were able to minister to these two precious Israelis. And so that was our ministry for day one. Day two was our first full day of gospel ministry in Israel, and it was fruitful and glorious. It started at our hotel. Dina, one of the hotel receptionists, had given Robert and I small gifts from the hotel, since I am a club member of the hotel. So in return, we responded, we want to give you a metanah, or a gift. And you know what that gift was, right? So we responded by giving her a gift, the completed Word of God in Hebrew, and a witness to her. Our gospel witness to her was that Yeshua, the Messiah, is the warp and woof of God's revelation in the Hebrew Scriptures. The evident fact for this is in the fulfillment of Messianic prophecy. Dina welcomed our gift and message of biblical proof, Jesus is the Messiah, with apparent joy and thankfulness. Amen. And so then we decided to venture over to the large Dizengoff Mall. I think it's a four-story mall, and there's two big buildings, and it connects by a bridge. The Dizengoff Mall in Tel Aviv, where this ministry historically has had good success. This time was no different. Robert and I had a chance to share with Olga that the Jewish Bible is a book of divine covenants God made with Israel. as testimony to his faithfulness and love for them. The last covenant is, of course, we told her, the Berit HaShah, the new covenant, whereby God sent Yeshua the Messiah to bring salvation and glory to the Jewish people, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And through Israel, God would bring the light of salvation for the Gentiles, Isaiah 61 and 2 and Luke 2, 30 through 32. This same message we share is also found in the two Testament Bible of the Hebrew Scriptures that we, in return, returned Israel to give to Israel as a testimony and love for them and the God of Israel. At our prodding, Olga too received from us the proclaimed and published Word of God. And so, after that, roughly 30 minutes or so, Robert and I met Boaz, and you'll see me there. He had a little tiny shoe shop where he sold shoestrings of every color. And Robert and I met Boaz, and he did not want his picture taken, and we respected that. Sharing with him the biblical proofs for Yeshua being the one true Messiah of Israel, Boaz patiently listened to our witness for the Lord. Interestingly enough, when we offered him a free, complete Hebrew Bible with Messianic gospel tracts, he initially declined. He initially declined the offer. But the Holy Spirit was at work on this Israeli man's heart. For as Boaz was thumbing through the scriptures and tracts, gospel tracts we gave him, we could see they caught his interest and his eyes open. And he changed his mind, telling us he would like to read and ponder what we gave him. Amen. It was a sight to behold. And as I've said before, these outreaches from the time we started them in 2003 until now, the partial blindness in Israel is being lifted from the Jewish people's eyes. But it will not be completely lifted nationwide until, of course, the Messiah returns to Israel. Romans 11, verses 25 and 26. Amen. Robert and I had planned to visit in Tel Aviv the Harley Davidson motorcycle shop. That's because Robert is an avid Harley Davidson motorcyclist. So he and I plan on visiting the shop. I knew this mutual interest Robert had with the owners and customers of the motorcycle shop would pay nice spiritual dividends in the end, and it sure did. We ended up having over an hour of gospel ministry with the owners, employees, and customers who came in the motorcycle dealership. There was Harley. Yes, his name was Harley. I think it was kind of a joke. You know, bikers give each other nicknames. That might have been his motorcycle nickname. But there was Harley, who worked at the shop. He accepted our testimony with eagerness and delight about Yeshua, the one foretold in the Jewish scriptures. Harley was more than happy to accept the word of God we gave him without any hesitation whatsoever. Then there was Harley's co-worker, Frankel, who I believe was originally from France because we heard him speaking French on the phone. But anyway, Frankel. Frankel also did the same thing like Harley did. He accepted the scriptures with a reverent gesture of kissing his hands upon receiving a Hebrew Bible from us. Well, what does that mean? Well, such a gesture in Israel means the person doing this indicates he or she is receiving or sensing something considered to be holy. And these are not Orthodox Israelis. These are secular Israelis. It's like the Holy Spirit impresses upon them the innate knowledge that what we are doing and giving them is a holy thing because it concerns the matters of salvation and the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. Robert and I had such a wonderful interaction with his motorcycle brethren. I'm firmly convinced such a love for motorcycles by Robert opened this door of fantastic and awesome ministry we had with them. Robert and I also met Nero and Benjo at the shop. They were part of a Jewish motorcycle group called the Samson Riders. We had a powerful witness with him as we boldly shared Yeshua and the Word of God. Both men were extremely open to us. Robert was wearing his leather motorcycle vest with several messianic patches on it. One patch has a direct quotation from John 3:16. And he's got a lot of patches on there. Nero, the leader of the Samson Group motorcycle, took a photo of the John 3:16. He had all these patches to work from, and he took a photo of John 3:16 on Robert's vest, which prompted us to share that God sent Jesus, his son, and Israel's Messiah to save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. Wanting to learn more, both Nero and Benjo happily accepted a copy of the complete Jewish scriptures from us. Later, we saw that Nero had posted on the motorcycle's Facebook page photos he took with us with the Hebrew Bibles we gave them in their firm and accepting hands. That same day, they posted that and said, we met with some people from Texas who love and support Israel, and he posted the picture that we took, and both Nero and Benjo had the complete Hebrew Bible in their hands that we had given them. It is truly amazing how the God of Israel gives us obvious favor with the chosen people for the furtherance of the gospel to them. Such an opportunity, really, like this, reminds me of what Paul said in Philippians 1:12, quote, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. After this great witnessing encounter, we, Robert and I, were praising God with tears of joy in our eyes." And it was truly a marvel to experience that. Well, from the Harley Davidson motorcycle shop, we then ventured to the Galilee and Tiberias, where Robert and I had good, robust ministry. And so those familiar with the Gospels know that much of the ministry of Jesus was done in the Galilee. And so this ministry, on its first day in Tiberias, once again visited the big mall in Tiberias. I had to buy a piece of jewelry for a relative, and that opened a door for Robert Williams and I to minister the gospel to a young lady by the name of Coral. She said that she remembered me from last time. I don't exactly remember that, but I've ministered and seen so many in Israel. Nonetheless, she was working at the jewelry kiosk. I found an item to buy, and with that, we introduced Coral to Jesus the Messiah when giving her a complete Jewish Bible with the proviso that we told her that in this book, the Messiah is foretold in the Old Testament and revealed to be Yeshua in the New Testament. Upon that premise spoken to Coral, she was very thankful to receive a beautiful Hebrew study Bible from us. I forgot to bring one of those Bibles that we do hand out on the tracks to show you. I do that from time to time during these presentations. So next week I'll remember to do that when we do part two of this presentation. So after we ministered to Coral, Robert and I met and ministered the Word of God to our Muslim waiter at a cafe where we were having refreshments. Get this, his name was Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I. Are you familiar with the term Mahdi in the Islamic religion? Here we go with a name now, a name that's now opening up a direct witness to him. When asked about the meaning of his name, he acknowledged that his very name was the Arabic title for the Muslim Messiah who supposedly will come at the end of time to convert the world to Islam. We turned that around, and Mahdi was gentle and open to listen to us as we told him about the true Messiah that has come and will come again. We boldly declared that Jesus is the Messiah who came 2,000 years ago and is soon to return. We also showed this from the Hebrew Bible and an Arabic gospel tract about the life of the real and only Messiah, Esau, Esau is the Arabic word for Jesus. The Spirit of God opened Mahdi's heart to read the Bible we gave him with the Arabic gospel tract. He was so impressed with it that he joyfully showed this Bible to his Jewish and Arab co-workers. And they were looking through the scriptures as he was had a big smile on his face, excited to receive a precious gift from us, such as the Word of God. Well, then we went back to Kersey, which we have not visited for a while. Kersey is a national park located on the northeastern part of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus cast the legion of demons out of the Gadarene man, Mark 5:1-20. Look on your photos there, and you can see the precipitous cliff that's now very green because it's spring over there. And in some of those subsequent pictures, you can actually see the cave. There's a big cave there. And at Kersey, K-U-R-S-I, at Kersey, there's a 5th century ruin of a Byzantine church at the location. The place has sharp, precipitous cliffs where the herd of swine violently ran off the cliff after Jesus sent the demons into them. There also appears, and you'll see those in the photographs, there also appears a cave where tombs may have been that was inhabited by the demoniac. Once we arrived, we met the attendant Gazelle and had a powerful time of ministry with him. Of course, Gazelle knew the significance of the holy site. Robert and I informed him we wanted to give him a complete Bible in Hebrew so he could read the account of this in the Synoptic Gospels. Gazelle jubilantly listened as we told him about how the Messianic prophecies prove Jesus is the Messiah. And then, get this, Gazelle gestured on his arm that he felt chills over hearing this. He attributed this to the power of Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, in our preaching. And at that moment, he accepted the Bible from us as he reverently kissed it, knowing it has, and we told him, the New Testament in it. Gazelle is an elderly Jew, and this was perhaps the first time he had heard the biblical record affirming Jesus is Messiah. And that's one of the great ironies of modern day Israel. Many of the Israelites had not heard the gospel of Yeshua, the greatest Jew ever to live in the history of the world, and who is alive today. So that was phenomenal. And the days were going by at lightning fast pace. Day 4 in Israel, our last day of gospel ministry in the verdant Galilee, was profitable for those who were enriched by the spiritual riches of God's word in Yeshua the Messiah, 2 Corinthians 8:9. When I awoke in the morning, I sensed by the Spirit that I should take a complete Hebrew Bible down to breakfast with me. Sure enough, such an act was right on the mark, as the report, as the following incident reveals. For after Robert and I finished breakfast, we providentially ran into the co-owners of the hotel, Mula and Abraham. And they, Mula knows us because we've stayed in this hotel, I would say a dozen times before, right off the Lake Kinneret, or what the New Testament calls the Sea of Galilee. A couple of years ago, at the same hotel, this ministry shared the gospel with a welcoming mula and gave him a complete Hebrew Bible. This time, Robert and I discussed with both men Israel's ongoing war with the Hamas terrorists. We said true believers in America firmly stand with Israel during this war for survival. We also emphatically told them the Biden administration should stay out of the way and let Israel finished the job of completely eradicating Hamas. The conversation then led us to witness to Abraham, particularly about the certain eternal, immutable, and unconditional covenants God made with Israel, starting with Abraham and ending with Yeshua, Jesus. These biblical covenants, we said, guarantee the permanent existence of the Jewish nation of Israel, according to Jeremiah 31:31-37. When Robert and I offered a complete Hebrew Bible to Abraham, at first he hesitated, responding that he had similar books in his office. At that point, Mula and Abraham were brothers. At that point, Mula strongly encouraged Abraham, saying, quote, take it, it is a different kind of book, unquote. He meant that in a good way, obviously. At that suggestion, Abraham took the Bible from us. Mueller said this because he took one from us several years ago and knew what he was saying after reading it. Robert and I seconded what he said and told Abraham that the Bible included the New Testament and in it what Yeshua did to save Israel and the world. Abraham accepted our gift. Amen. Well, sadly, this ministry could not return to Mount Hermon in the beautiful Golan Heights to minister to the IDF soldiers because it was barred from public access due to the conflict with Hezbollah in the north and Kiryat Shemona, a town that we've often been to that's adjacent to Mount Hermon, was also closed off. Many of its citizens have been evacuated since October 7th, and many of those families evacuated from the north and from Kiryat Shemona were staying at our hotel in the Galilee. So because the north was inaccessible, the Lord led Robert and I to visit the small town of Rosh Pinya, just north of Tiberias. This is a city we have ministered in before. We entered a Skechers shoe store where we met Roni and his Arab female co-worker. Roni is set to go into the airport within a month. He also told us that his Arab Muslim female co-worker almost lost her husband at a kibbutz he was working at on October 7th when the Hamas terrorists attacked. Robert and I shared with him that assurance of eternal life, God's saving love, forgiveness of sin, and God's saving love and forgiveness of sins come through the Messiah Jesus revealed in both testaments of the Hebrew Bible, Isaiah 53, John 3:16, Ephesians 1:7. Roni accepted a Hebrew Bible from us to learn more of these things and said he would definitely read it while in the Air Force. We also gave a Bible to the amiable Arab co-worker. She was overjoyed to accept not only a Hebrew Bible, but an Arabic gospel tract about the life of Jesus and how it applies to those who believe in him for salvation. She was in tears when we ministered the comforting word of Yeshua, and especially when she looked through the Arabic gospel tract about the life of Jesus the Messiah. Praise God, both Jew and Arab together heard the gospel and received the published word of God and accepted our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as it is written in Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Amen. Well, the next day we had to leave the Galilee and head for Jerusalem down Highway 90 from north from the north of Israel to the southern part where Jerusalem was. So day five was a transition day for this 55th gospel outreach. We left the Galilee for Jerusalem. Along the way, the Lord blessed us with excellent ministry. At a gas station on the outskirts of Tiberias, Robert Williams and met two motorcyclists, Niv and Gilmore. Since Robert is a longtime motorcyclist, such a common link with these two young men proved advantageous for ministry, allowing us to boldly share and give the word of God to them. Both men were visibly elated to receive the scriptures from us. Nir and Gilmore had just gotten out of the military. Nir had told us he had been injured in the fighting in Gaza some months ago, but now he was completely recovered. Robert and I comforted them with the gospel of Yeshua as commanded in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye, my people. Briefly, we explained to them what Messiah has done for our salvation and reconciliation with God, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Nir said he would definitely read the New Testament Robert gave him within the context of the Tanakh. Robert had these special motorcycle New Testament Bibles that he got from his motorcycle ministry. It has their logo on the cover. And both Nir and Gilmore received it without any hesitation. And they said they would definitely read the New Testament. Robert gave both of them within the context of the Tanakh. That's what Nir told us. Then we decided to stop at the ancient site of Beth Shan. There, Robert and I met David, a park ranger, at the ancient ruins of Beth Shan. If you remember, this was the same ancient city where the Philistines hung the dead bodies of King Saul and Jonathan on the walls. 1 Samuel 31:10. The Lord opened David's heart as we shared that Yeshua is proven to be the Messiah by virtue of fulfilling all the first coming prophecies given in the Ketuvah. That's a word we use on this outreach. Ketuvah, or Ketuvah HaKodesh. Ketuvah is the Hebrew word for Bible. Ketuvah. And Ketuvah HaKodesh means Holy Bible. I don't know why I didn't use this word a long time ago, but Robert actually suggested, hey, look up the Hebrew word for Bible on your translation. And I did, and it's Ketuvah. Ketuvah. And that's the word, that's another word we use when we ask if they want us to receive the scriptures. Ketuvah. So, David was very open to receiving a Ketuvah, Hebrew word for Bible. And so we did invite him to take a copy of the Holy Scriptures from us, which certainly included the New Testament, to see how Yeshua did this. After all, we said, every Jew needs to know about the greatest Jew of all, Jesus of Nazareth. David agreed and expressed his warmest appreciation for our ministry time with him. Amen. Well, once Robert and I arrived at the Dan Hotel in Jerusalem, the shift manager, Rhonda, and the desk receptionist, Ferris, greeted us. They were Arab Israelis. When we asked about the war in Gaza, they both expressed deep sorrow over the atrocities committed by Hamas on October 7th. And at the same time, were glad to be Israeli citizens. This dispels a media lie that Jews and Arabs are at each other's throats in Israel. The majority of Jews and Arabs work together in peace and happiness within the state of Israel. And this is a fact you will not hear from the international media because they thrive on manufactured conflict. And all the Arabs that we talked to, almost all of them, did volunteer the fact that they were upset over what happened on October 7th. And enjoyed living in Israel. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And keep in mind, most of the time, this was unsolicited from us. They offered this information to us. And the majority of Jews and Arabs who are citizens of Israel, legal citizens, get along together. They thrive together. They go to school together. They work together. They live together in harmony and happiness. And both were, that we talked to, both groups were mortified and offended and angered over what happened on October 7th with Hamas. So the fact that the majority of Jews and Arabs work together in peace and happiness in Israel then led Robert and I to proclaim to both Rhonda and Ferris, led us to proclaim to them the gospel of Yeshua and what he accomplished dying on the cross to reconcile the world to God, provided we believe in him, 2 Corinthians 5:19. To flesh out and perfectly explain this further, we, of course, offered them two Hebrew Ketuvah Bibles from us. Both of them were evidently excited, happy, and overjoyed at receiving the scriptures for themselves concerning the Jewish Messiah, who also loves and died for the Arab people and all people groups of the earth, that all might be saved to whoever believes in him. Isaiah 45:22 and Acts 16:31. So again, the Lord mightily moved on this situation. And so when we did get to Jerusalem, and I'll end it with this last testimony. When we did get to Jerusalem, our first full day in the Holy City went very well. Upon leaving our hotel in the morning, the Lord led us to boldly share the gospel of Yeshua with Samuel, a young Jewish man in his early 20s. He is not in the photos that you have there because he did not want his photo taken. Nonetheless, Samuel was extremely open to our ministry. We elaborated to him that the Messiah of Scripture is the heart of biblical Judaism and New Testament Christianity, which is a fulfillment of the former. See the book of Hebrews. This revelatory truth is best seen in the detailed prophecies of the first coming and second coming of Messiah. And so the clear biblical evidence points to Yeshua of Nazareth, who has fulfilled all first coming prophecies. And because of this fact, he will also fulfill all second coming prophecies when he gloriously returns to Israel. Zechariah 14:4, Matthew 24:27-31. But in telling Samuel this, we were quick to exhort him not to take our word for it, but confirm it by the inerrant word of God in both testaments of Scripture. We appealed to him that every Israeli needs to know about the most important Jew who ever lived and is alive today. And we boldly identified who that person is, Jesus of Nazareth. Samuel's response was to tell us that he found this to be very interesting to learn. We further said every Jewish person needs to read God's Word. They need to read God's Word, which includes the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, to learn and know the greatest Jew alive today, Jesus of Nazareth. Samuel agreed and promptly received the Scriptures from us. Amen. So I will end part one here, and then we will pick up part two next week. Hopefully you were able to access the photos of this 55th gospel outreach at todd.levitt.com. Now you may be thinking that our focus was on primarily the Jews and then the Arabs in our gospel outreach. Well, the gospel is not only for the Jew first, but it's for all people as well. The gospel is the only remedy, the only medicine for a sin-sick soul. It is the only cure, whether you're Jew, Arab, Mongolian, or Australian. The only cure for our sin problem is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel came from the very place we went to bring the gospel back to its place of origin and the people from whence it came. But God acted through the Jewish people to bring us the Messiah and the gospel so that all peoples looking upon him with faith will be saved. I would encourage you, if you haven't done that, to do that now. Listen to this gospel witness. Take hold of it. Believe it for salvation. Turn. Repent of your sin. Acknowledge that you need forgiveness for violating, breaking God's law, which is the definition of sin. And turn to the only remedy, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the atonement for Israel and the world that can only remove all of your sins. Well, until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alekhem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.